Bounds it off. Left circle. McNabb. Dorofeev. One-timer. Blocked. Rattles around. Score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one, so we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Michael takes it on his backhand, forehand pass, Hanifin, score! Noah Hanifin, power goal!
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Monday, and the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Chris Chapman, it's hour number two. What are we going to do?
Sticks down, drop the puck for hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.
You know, even dropping the puck and putting our sticks down an hour into the show?
Yes.
We're still doing that before the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers drop the puck on game number two. Puck drop in just about 19 minutes or so, so you still got some time to settle in, get ready to go for what should be an entertaining and exciting game two. Like you, Chapman, I believe every game in this series is going to be pretty close. Famous last words, I know I threw that out there, and it'll probably be like a 7-2 blowout at some point in time in the series. But right now, generally speaking, I feel like it's going to be pretty close. You know, it's interesting because we're right in that window where you're starting to see on the timeline things pop up, like the 15-year anniversary of the Chicago Blackhawks winning a championship, or the 10-year anniversary, or the 12-year anniversary of the Kings winning a championship, or the Penguins, whatever it might be. Like, we're in that window, that area of time where those anniversaries are starting to pop up. And we've got one that's pretty significant in Golden Knights history coming up on Thursday. If you are living under a rock, Thursday is June 13th. June 13th is significant because that is when the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. A year ago, Thursday, the anniversary of when the Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. So what we are thinking, we're just putting it on your radar right now. For those of you that like to call in, we're going to open up the phone lines in the first segment on Thursday to reminisce on what it was like a year ago for you as a Golden Knights fan watching your team win the Stanley Cup. We've got a couple of other surprises we're going to kind of throw your way on Thursday, but Thursday, June 13th, 1 year anniversary of the Golden Knights winning their first Stanley Cup championship. And you know what? It'll only be game three of the Stanley Cup final, which is wild for so many reasons, but until this series concludes, the Golden Knights are still Stanley Cup champions.
Yes. What's kind of crazy is I you get those little timeline bumps on like your social media, and 7 years ago, the Golden Knights were playing the Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup playoffs, or Stanley Cup final, I should say.
Sure.
And game one was already, or actually they were already like,
series was already over.
It was pretty much over.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I saw that I was getting ready to leave for D.C. a couple days ago, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I had one today. Today is the anniversary of the Golden Knights knocking the Colorado Avalanche out of the playoffs. They lost games one and two and then won four straight games to defeat the Colorado Avalanche. Yep. That was only the second round of the playoffs, and that was a pretty interesting year because it was the shortened season and everything started so late because of everything finishing so late the year before. But like, I look back and I think about those 2 years and I'm just like, what an unbelievable time to be a sports fan in anywhere in the world because of just how crazy everything was. You had the NBA in a bubble, and you had the Major League Baseball only playing a 60-game season, and then you had the NHL and the Stanley Cup Final. Every single game was in Edmonton, and the Oilers were not involved, but Stanley Cup was there, which is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that, I think if I'm remembering correctly, like yesterday was the anniversary of Alex Ovechkin in the fountain celebrating the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
You remember that, doing snow angels in a fountain?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's the time of the year we're in right now.
Yeah.
Where you've got, like, 14 to 20 days of
we're
just...
We're not going to be suck this year.
Of just absolute debauchery with the Stanley Cup. And, like, whoever wins it this year might be lucky if they get a week. They might be. Like, if we go seven, they're going to get 3 days.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, like, I cannot imagine how – I have a feeling that the players on the Panthers would be a lot more fun than the Oilers. Like, I just don't think that those guys like fun.
I think they will.
Not as much as Florida.
No. Florida's going to live it up.
Like that cup will be at the Clevelander for probably about 13 days straight with someone drinking out of it.
For sure. I mean, it's going to be great for Florida if they win it. It'll be interesting with Edmonton if they win it. But we're a long way from there.
Yes.
We're a long way from there. And I wanted to start off here digging into what could be a new tradition in the National Hockey League. If you watched Game 1, there were a couple of things that stood out to me as far as the telecast goes before they dropped the puck. The most notable thing to me was that the Stanley Cup was on the ice in between both teams as they did the player introductions and the national anthems. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that that's happened in a long, long time. Like, I believe it was something, and this was reported on by Michael Russo of The Athletic, that this was something the National Hockey League did, like, in the 1960s. Like, it wasn't uncommon to have the Stanley Cup on display for both teams to see ahead of Game 1. And it's just something that's fallen by the wayside. Like, I don't know why particularly this isn't the case and isn't the norm in the National Hockey League. Maybe because superstitions, players, whatever it might be. I mean, neither one of these teams wanted to touch the other trophy. So maybe it's just a superstition thing. But it was really cool, and I think it lended an awesome, awesome perspective of both teams on the ice with the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the series. What did you think of that, Chapman?
I liked it. I think it's a very cool aspect because you're on the ice, you're taking warm-ups, you come out for the anthems, and you see it.
Yeah.
Like, you know at that moment, this is for real. Like, there's no – it's not a dream. It's not – like I mean, it's at media day, you know?
Yeah.
Like
it's,
last
it's
year.
It's around.
Yeah, it's not like these guys don't see it. Like, I can't remember who it was who said – I feel like it was Ben Hutton who said it was the first time he'd ever seen it.
Yeah.
When they brought it out for media day.
Yeah.
Like, how much more cool is that if you're out there skating and you're in warm-ups and there it is. It's right there in front of you.
Now, I don't get the sense that it's going to be an every game thing. I feel
it should be there for game one, though.
I feel like that's pushing the envelope a little bit. And you mentioned, you talked about the bubble season. You talked about, going to Edmonton. The Stanley Cup was overseeing the ice during the Stanley Cup final that year, which was kind of a weird quirk, but You had an empty arena. You could do that. And unless you're able to suspend the Stanley Cup above the rink and do some, like, ladder match style winner just gets to climb up and take it, I don't think you need to have the Stanley Cup front and center for the entirety of the Stanley Cup final. But to have it out there with the players ahead of game one, to recognize and understand and have that moment where this is what you're playing for. Yeah, it's easy to say in round one that you're playing for the Stanley Cup. It's easy to say that you're playing for the Stanley Cup in round two, but it doesn't become real until you get to the Stanley Cup final.
Right.
It doesn't become attainable until you're in the Stanley Cup final. So why not give the players that moment of recognition? This is what's at stake. This is what's on the table. Let's go. I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, like, I feel like just a little more, like, dangling the carrot in front of you. A little more, you're this close to kissing me, to touching me, to holding me over your head, to drinking beers out of me, hopefully not cheap beer. Like, you're...
It's going to be cheap beer.
Oh, absolutely it's going to be.
Night
absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
Night one
will
be cheap beer.
Yes, yes.
So why'd you say hopefully not cheap
beer? Well, because I could always hope.
Okay. 702-876-1340, that's the text line. 702-876-1340, did you like it or not? It's very simple. Did you like the fact that the Stanley Cup was on the ice ahead of game one of the Stanley Cup final? Do you feel like this is something the NHL should continue to do moving forward? Because if you follow the Stanley Cup on social media, and you should because he's pretty funny, or you follow along with Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup, Pritchard tweeted out, like, hopefully the beginning of a new tradition. And the Golden Knights maybe set a new precedent, maybe set a new standard, where they had the Stanley Cup inscribed prior to their days, the players' days with the Stanley Cup, so that they could see their names on the Stanley Cup for their day with the Stanley Cup. I just believe every team moving forward should do that. Though I will say, when you start to think about this coming off season, especially if this series goes seven games, maybe that opportunity doesn't present itself. Maybe you're not able to do that.
Yeah, I think the NHL needs to think about having that, because, like, you've heard stories before the Golden Knights created their own tradition. You had stories of players talking about, yeah, I got my day with the cup, but the first time I saw my name on the cup was 15 years later when I was in the Hall of Fame with my family.
Exactly. Do you believe, did you like it? Did you like the fact that the Stanley Cup was on the ice? And do you believe it should be a tradition moving forward? 702-876-1340. Hit us up on the text line with your thoughts and opinions. I loved it. I wish the Stanley Cup could be front and center all the time. As somebody that has been around the Stanley Cup, as somebody that has gotten to touch the Stanley Cup, as somebody that has had that dream realized and understands the gravity that that trophy has in terms of sport, you want it to be as front and center and forward facing as you possibly can. Like, it might sound ridiculous, and this might be a hot take. The biggest selling point of the National Hockey League isn't Connor McDavid. It isn't Leon Draisaitl. It isn't Matthew Tkachuk. It isn't any other player you want to put in there. Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. It's not Andrei Vasilevsky. It's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
The biggest driving force in this league is the trophy you win at the end of it all and everything that you'll do to get it.
You know, it's funny you say that, because we had the Super Bowl here a few months ago, and I was in and around Media Week, and I got to see the Super Bowl trophy, Vince Lombardi trophy. And it's cool. Doesn't have the aura.
It's not the Stanley Cup.
Of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's not the Stanley
Cup. Like, I have not seen the World Series trophy in person, but I have seen the NBA championship trophy in person. Meh. It's okay. Like, it doesn't have the aura of the Stanley Cup. The only thing I could think of that, and I've never seen it in person, but would be the World Cup in soccer. Like, that to me is the only other trophy in team sports that even remotely approaches the Stanley Cup in terms of what it means to win it and the aura that surrounds it. Like, Leo Messi winning the Stanley – or he may as well win the Stanley Cup too, but
– put him on skates. Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'd probably be okay, yeah. Him winning – and he's in Miami, so he's not too far, but him winning the World Cup, it was an iconic moment because it was the World Cup. But – when the all-time greats win a Stanley Cup, what's amazing to me about the Stanley Cup, when you look at the names inscribed on the Stanley Cup, and we could go back 40 years, I could probably look at, I don't know, a dozen teams, and I couldn't tell you who the best player on every team was, because every single person on the cup is equal. And that's what makes it pretty damn cool. Because, yeah, I could go back and look at the Golden Knights last year and know Jonathan Marchessault or Jack Eichel were the stars. But I could go back and look at the Blackhawks maybe in like 1950 or whatever it was that they won. I couldn't tell you who their best player was.
Sure.
And their best player is right there with his name inscribed next to the worst player.
It's an equal footing trophy.
Yeah, which is pretty damn awesome.
And when you factor all of that in, and then you factor the names that are on that trophy and the history that is attached to it, it oozes charisma.
Yeah.
Which sounds like I fully recognize how ridiculous I sound right now.
No, I don't think you do.
But it is that. It truly is. And you know, last year, ahead of the Stanley Cup final, we had Mike Bolt, one of the keepers of the cup. He came in, brought the Stanley Cup to the radio station, and it is unreal what that trophy does to people that don't even, like, aren't even hockey fans generally.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a hockey fan, you know what the Stanley Cup is.
Yeah.
You know.
We had, like, I had to take pictures.
Out the door.
Yes, of people, like you and me and Ari, who helps out.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't even get, like, I felt bad because Ari wanted to be able to take his pictures and touch it and, you know, take a look at it. And, like, we really didn't get an opportunity to really look and... Like, I did the first year when it was, where, what was it, the Westin Hotel? Where and Frank?
Yeah, you were shameless about it.
Oh, I
hugged it, you kissed it, you did all the things.
You know what? I did not kiss it last year, though.
Why not?
Because I'd already done it once.
Okay. It's fair.
Yeah. Now, the opportunity did not present itself for me to take a drink out of the Stanley Cup.
I did. I know. I did.
I would have gone nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I would have asked two people to pick it up and hold it, and I just would have chugged.
It was harder than I imagined it was going to be.
To drink out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I would have put my lips on it. I just would have let the beer come down and hit me in the face and splash me as I'm drinking.
I was wearing a suit jacket. I wanted to be classy.
Ah, yeah. I get that. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like on the ice or anything.
No, because you were in the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a wild experience. And again, like, you start to think about everything as a hockey fan, as a kid growing up playing. Like, you start to think about everything that you remember when it comes to this trophy. Watching in 93 the Kings lose to the Montreal Canadiens. Watching Gary Bettman hand the Stanley Cup to the Montreal Canadiens. Mm. And how much that sucked as a young fan who was living in LA and loved this new sport of hockey that came into my worldview, and it's informed literally every decision that I've made in my life. It's wild. And even if you're not a hockey fan, you know this trophy. It's got like this weird gravitational pull. And I just think when you can put it front and center and you can put it in front of the players and they can have that moment and they can recognize that that's what's on the line. I know the Florida Panthers know. But for the Edmonton Oilers, it's the closest that a Canadian team has been since 2011.
Yeah.
Like, you want that shot. I think the shot was fantastic with the cup on the ice and the teams lined up across the blue lines and the recognition and understanding that this is what you're playing for.
Yeah, it does not appear that it's on the ice today during the anthems, and it
shouldn't be. You're right. It should be before game one, set up the series, Stanley Cup is there, and we do not see it until it's awarded. That's the way to do it. And it should be a tradition moving forward.
Yeah. They should do it.
And I don't care what teams individually want in that moment. You live for that shot. You live for the ability on the ice to circle around the Stanley Cup, to pan out, to see both teams, to see the fans going nuts. You deserve that.
Well, and also for the fans' perspective as well, because...
Well, it sucks for Edmonton fans. They're not going to get it out of Game 3.
Well, that's true. But for the home fans, the Panthers could end up winning the Stanley Cup in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get to see it again. So to have that opportunity to see it on the ice... It's special. It really is. I hope they do this going forward. I mean, it sounds like it's such an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many, if there would be teams that would push back on this.
I wouldn't even let teams.
Yeah, don't even entertain the idea.
No.
It's an executive decision.
It you put it on the ice. You're not having some big speech about this is why you're here, nothing like that. You just put it on the ice. For 5 minutes before the first game of the Stanley Cup final, I think that makes a lot of sense. Game two is just about ready to go.
They just showed the shirtless kid who was yelling at Chris Knobloch. last game.
Did you see that kid get Peter Laviolette?
No.
Yeah, no, he became like a sensation.
Yeah, he sits right behind the visiting coach.
And sure, yeah.
They just showed Chris Knobloch, and yep. There was the kid holding his hat down, and he's got his shirt off, and I'm sure he's ready to raise hell.
Good for him.
He's living his best life.
What are you feeling about tonight's game?
I think Edmonton's going to win.
Can you give me more than that?
I mean, I think the Oilers are going to generate more opportunities. I think they're going to generate better opportunities. I don't think Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be as good as he was in game one. I think he's still going to be good. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think Edmonton runs away. Like, I don't think they win, like, 5-1. I think they find a way to win. I think it's going to go to overtime. And I think they're going to win in overtime.
How many overtime periods?
Just one. I think it'll be quick overtime, too.
I don't like that.
I don't like it
either. I'm not a fan of that.
We get cheated if it's...
If you're going to overtime,
I want to, yes.
You need at least 12 minutes of overtime hockey.
I would prefer, like, double overtime. Like, I know it's painful for Sabre fans, mm-hmm. but, like, the Brett Hull skate in the crease goal.
Why are you doing this?
Triple overtime.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go to overtime, the Panthers and the... Not the Panthers. The Lightning and the Blue Jackets in the bubble, 5 overtimes... I think the Flyers and Penguins played a 6 overtime game. Give me that. Like, that's what I want. I want the game ending at like 3 in the morning if we're getting overtime, especially because I don't have to be there.
You're a jerk.
I am.
You're an absolute jerk.
One of these guys are jerks or something.
I am.
I don't know that I'm feeling overtime. I'm also not feeling an Edmonton win.
Uh-oh.
Like, again, here's my expectation for game 2. I don't think the Florida Panthers can physically be as bad as they were in the first 2 periods of game 1.
Well, they found it in the 3rd period.
They were great in the 3rd period. They were wearing the Oilers down. They were playing in the offensive zone. The forecheck was working. Like, I believe you're going to get 60 minutes out of the Panthers. I just do. Because, again, like, you have to look at it and say, as good as the Oilers were in game 1, I just don't believe the Florida Panthers are going to be that bad for that long of a time in any of the rest of the games. So as much as you can sit here and say, I think the Oilers are going to generate more scoring chances, I think the Oilers are going to be able to cash in. They're probably going to score, but I don't think that they're going to play better at any stretch in time this series than they did in the first 40 minutes of game 1. The Oilers were excellent, and they could not beat Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the games are going to be as lopsided in terms of those shifts in momentum the rest of the series. I think it's just going to be two teams toe-to-toe, and whichever team is better is going to end up winning. I just look at the Florida Panthers. They've already established their forecheck early on in this game. I know it's only 90 seconds, but they played the majority of the first 2 minutes of this game in the Oilers zone. That's not boding well for the Oilers.
They've looked like the better team early on.
Can you tell that we just want to watch the game?
Yeah, I know.
Like, we're glued to it. It's amazing. Probably not great for radio, but hey.
That's okay. I mean, people drive it around. They may not be able to watch it.
Yeah, we're not doing play-by-play here.
No.
There's Vinny Deharnais.
Non-factor.
What's he going to do in 90 seconds?
One shift?
One shift for 40 seconds?
He's already a non-factor.
Non-factor. He's factored in more than Cody Ceci has.
That's true.
He's been on the ice and no goals have been scored.
That's true. He's already
a step
ahead.
Look at Vinny Deharnais. He is a step ahead of Cody Ceci. You want to talk about throwback games? I tweeted it out a couple of times during game 1. Like, that's the Cody Ceci Toronto fans remember.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Turnover at one side, and then he comes down and he's got a shot on net that's like 40 feet wide. It was a Cody Ceci throwback game is what it was.
Well, I thought you were going to say on the first goal where he bites and leaves the center of the ice and leaves someone completely uncovered.
No, I'm talking specifically about a turnover in his own defensive zone, and then he gets up ice on, like, you know, a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 odd man rush, and then he gets the puck on his stick, like, with prime real estate to do something, and he shoots it into the corner. Like, it's not even close. A throwback Cody Ceci game. Okay,
quarter.
I'm being too mean. We're going to take a break. Come back with one-timers next.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for One-Timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. We're going to stick here with Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. It has been all Florida early on. First 5 minutes, it's basically been in the Edmonton Oilers zone the entire game. Nothing to show for it just yet for the Florida Panthers. Outshooting the Edmonton Oilers 3-0. Shot attempts are about 12-1 in favor of the Panthers. And Connor McDavid, like, every time he gets the puck on his stick in the offensive zone, there are five Panthers he's got to get through just to get to Sergei Bobrovsky. Unreal.
Yeah, and the Panthers just had a shift where they had about 40 seconds of zone time.
Yeah.
And the only reason Edmonton even cleared it is I think Florida just puck took a bad bounce and one of their defensemen was able to get it and clear it out. But, like, early on, all you're seeing is red down in the their offensive zone. So, pretty impressive start for – look at it, 11-2. You almost nailed it.
You had to imagine the Panthers were going to be better than they were to start game number one. And boy, oh boy, they have responded with a ton of possession. Now, the same thing happened for Florida against the Rangers where they had the puck an awful lot. They were in the offensive zone an awful lot. But they were unable to score as much as you'd like them to. So it's great to have all this puck possession. But you got to put the puck in the back of the net. And it looks like Sam Bennett just took a penalty or something. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's change gears here and talk about the salary cap, everyone's favorite topic.
Yay, salary cap.
Gary Bettman and Bill Daly announced over the weekend that the increase to the salary cap is a bit higher than was initially anticipated. It was going to be somewhere in the ballpark of 87.5, 87.6 for the salary cap going into next season. It'll actually be $88 million.
Oh, that's
so
good.
A flat $88 million, the high end of the salary cap next year, which is important, and you're going to look at every single dollar that you can, especially when you are the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, we have talked about the free agents that Vegas has coming off the books this offseason. Like, there's Jonathan Marchessault, there's William Carrier, there's Chandler Stephenson. Like, those are three really important pieces for the Vegas Golden Knights. So when you start to think about this team moving forward, every single dollar that you have available to you helps. It really does. Now, what you can get done, how many of those players you can bring back, how many of those players you want to bring back and kind of works in the trajectory moving forward, that's on front office Kelly McCrimmon to figure all that out. But you get a little bit more wiggle room here. And when you're talking about the Golden Knights, a team that we know is going to spend to the cap, a little bit more wiggle room is what you're looking for.
Well, that could be the difference between Michael Amadio being here and not being
100%.
Here.
100%.
You know, like those extra few $100,000, I mean, that's a big deal for a guy like Mike Amadio, right? Because now maybe you're able to give him $2 million over 2 years or whatever it is because you have the flexibility now. Like, it seems like a small amount, but when you look at the way the Golden Knights operate and the way that they handle the cap, every extra dollar is important.
Couldn't agree more. It was a tripping call on Sam Bennett.
Yeah, and it was a good one.
Hey, a little knee on knee, right?
Yeah, they'll get you that every time.
You were talking about him.
I love him.
I spent all that time pumping the tires of the Panthers penalty kill. They better not let me down now. They better not let me down right now. All right, the Carolina Hurricanes report out from Dr. Frank Saravalli.
A good doctor.
They plan to fill the vacant GM role internally. So they let essentially all the other candidates know that they are going to go internal, which would seem to indicate that it's going to be Eric Tolsky as the full-time general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes. No official announcement just yet, but that's the report from Frank Saravalli anyway. Tolsky was promoted to interim GM when Don Waddell left. How do you feel about this? Because, again, like, You got Carolina saying that they're open to trading the rights of Jake Guentzel. There's all this, all these UFAs and RFAs that you've got to come to grips with. There's Marty Natchez's name out front and center in terms of trade discussions. Like, don't you kind of feel like in this moment you want to lean into somebody that's got experience here?
Yeah, that would be my initial thought. Like, you want someone who's been through this before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, every time you say the guy's name, my initial thought is Eric Tosi, who fans probably don't know, but he is a you know, he works in the front office of the Golden Knights.
I'll tell you right now, Eric Tosi could be a GM one day.
He might be. Yeah. I mean, he's been around the game long enough, but like, I mean, I'm just thinking, this is a big transition year for the Carolina Hurricanes. You're coming off of a year, I would say another disappointing.
It's 100% disappointing.
You know, but it seems like every single year with this team, we're talking about them underachieving in the playoffs, and now you're in that transition year. You might trade some star players. You might lose some star players. You still don't have your goalie situation figured out. Is Freddie Anderson going to be healthy? Is he not? What do you like? If you're the Carolina Hurricanes and Tom Dundon, you really have to ask yourself, what are we looking to do in the near future? Do we want to blow this up because we realize that maybe we're not going to win with this? Or do we think we can win with this and we just need to go out and get one or two more key pieces? Regardless of what that decision is,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you want someone who's got experience.
I wonder if this is a scenario. And listen, Eric Tolsky has been with the organization for a while now. He's an incredibly smart hockey mind. He might do a great job.
Maybe he will.
Yeah. I wonder if this is Carolina, and just as an aside, the Florida Panthers, an excellent penalty kill.
They get sticks on everything.
Oh, it was so good. Eric Tolsky might be the guy for the job. It's very possible. However, I do believe this is a transition year for Carolina, and I think it might be an acknowledgement that the core needs to change a little bit, that the philosophy has to change a little bit because they haven't been able to get it done. This was the one year where they go out, they get Jake Guentzel, they make a splash at the trade deadline, and it doesn't result in them going any farther than they did the year prior. This is the most disappointing end of a season for the Carolina Hurricanes, and I think that there is going to be some hard decisions and some big changes.
Well, you've got the core that you're talking about, but I mean, Teravainen's a free agent, and you're talking about maybe trading Natchez and Jordan Martinuk is also a free agent.
I think they're
those are three big time players for your organization.
Yeah,
who might not be on the team next year. So I mean, there's going out and modifying the core, and then there's blowing up the core. And if they go that route, I just don't know what to think.
Ooh.
Well, that looked bad.
Evan Rodriguez.
He's down, too. He's hurt.
He went to lay a hit, I think, on Warren Fogle. And he went over the top and did not look comfortable on the landing. This is what you get when there's a game on. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. Okay, Bruce Garriott reports that the Ottawa Senators are aggressively pursuing Jacob Markstrom. Can you sell
me, we're a team?
Can you sell me on why Jacob Markstrom wants to do this?
No. Why?
Oh, no, no, no.
Uh-oh.
That's knee on knee. Like, A2 Luostarinen was just taken out with a knee on knee hit. It is getting nasty early on here in game number two.
Trainer is out there. He's down.
He's not. That was vicious.
Yeah. And Paul Maurice is seething.
Who was that hit him? Was it Evan Bouchard? We got to get a replay on this one. Okay. As we anxiously await the replay.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, no. It was Warren Fogle sticks the knee out, and he gets Luostarinen knee on knee. That is a dirty, dirty hit.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't look very good. All right, so Jacob Markstrom in the news, obviously, one of the goaltenders that a lot of teams that need goalies are looking at. Ottawa Senators, like, sell me on why Jacob Markstrom would want to go to Ottawa. No, I'm not being sarcastic.
I'm trying to think. So rebirth, right? Like a new opportunity.
He hasn't won anything.
No, but I think you would look back and say, I mean, this was a guy who, when he went to Calgary, big things were expected.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flames, for whatever reason, they flamed out. And I don't know if you pinpoint all of it on him, but he was good, but I don't think he lived up to the hype of when he got there. So a change of scenery could be a good thing.
You're approaching it from an area I didn't expect you to go down. You're Jacob Markstrom. You're on the wrong side of 30. You've never won.
You want to go someplace where you're going to win.
Why in the world, if you've got a no-trade clause, why in the world would you waive that to go to Ottawa? And listen,
they're not close.
I understand what they're trying to build in Ottawa. I recognize that the Senators are trying to get better. I recognize all the young talent that they have. I do. I get it all. I don't believe in the Ottawa Senators. In the same way I don't believe in the Buffalo Sabres, in the same way that I don't believe in the Detroit Red Wings. Until those three teams take the step, I'm not believing that they're going to take the step. And though adding a goaltender like Jacob Markstrom could be exactly what the Ottawa Senators need to take that step, if you're Markstrom, I want to go to a legitimate contender. I want to go to a team that I can believe in. Like, if it's between Jersey and Ottawa, I'm going with the team that has the most recent trip to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, you could stay in a division. You could look at Los Angeles. You could look in the Central and look at Colorado. I mean, there's opportunities to take a team that is close and take them to the next level. Like, Colorado, to me, would be a perfect place for Jacob Markstrom.
You know what I think when it comes to Colorado? John Gibson.
Yeah.
John Gibson in Colorado.
I still think he's... I think he's damaged goods.
I know you think he's cooked. I get it. I do. But you want to talk about a goalie that knows how to play in behind a team that is on the hunt for offense as much as Colorado is? I think John Gibson in Colorado could be something very good for him. I really do. I really do. Time will tell, though. Since we're talking about the Panthers and Sam Reinhart have mutual interest in a contract. Well, of course they do. It's a major... major on Warren Fogel.
I'm assuming they reviewed it too.
They had to have.
Yeah. And it looks like they're sticking with it.
Wow. That's amazing.
They have gone 11 straight games without allowing a goal. The record is 13.
Okay.
By the Montreal Canadiens.
How big is this moment in the series?
Well, Florida scores one or two here. It's huge.
They have to take advantage of
it. Because you would have broken their power play or penalty kill.
On a stupid hit.
Yeah, really, really bad play.
Like, and I get it. Sam Bennett, he goes in somewhat knee on knee on Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, vicious. It wasn't like dirty.
The problem with Louis Duranian is that he was planted. And Fogel, like, changes his direction. Like, that's a dirty hit.
Yeah, the leg did not... It's not supposed to move like that.
Huge moment coming up for the Florida Panthers.
But, yeah, so back to the Reinhart thing.
Scored 57 goals.
What a year to have a career year. But yeah, like, he's a good fit. He's a good fit with this team. You know, this is a really good team. And
a big reason why their power play works is because they've got Sam Reinhart. I just think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I don't think there's any panic that a deal isn't done yet. If I'm a betting man, and I'm not generally a betting man, but if I'm a betting man in this scenario, for the Florida Panthers, for Sam Reinhart, they're going to come to a number that makes sense. He's got to stay.
Yeah.
It's too good of a fit.
Yeah, I think he's... I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. Those are your one-timers for today, Monday, June 10th. Catching up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan, I know we want to get to the game, so I'll make it quick.
Yeah.
McDonald's Canada tweeted out that, okay, Connor McDavid, how about this? If you bring the cup back to Canada, we'll turn an Edmonton McD's into a McDavid's deal. So I'm reading this tweet, and my mind starts to go, this only works if you lean into it all the way.
Right.
Like, it's gotta be, like, a big McDavid, right? Big McDavid. You can't just call it McDavid's. Like, you've gotta make everything on the menu McDavid-centric.
Right.
But speaking of McDavid, he's got an assist, huh?
He does. It's 1-0 Edmonton. It's been a wild period of hockey.
One goal on one shot.
Yeah, so Oliver Ekman-Larsson took the Panthers off of the major power play with a tripping penalty on Matthias Janmark. Sets up 4-on-4. Matthias Ekholm opens the scoring for the Edmonton Oilers. Just squeaks through Bob.
Evan Bouchard gets away with one.
A little bit of interference. And then Sam Bennett sets up Brandon Montour for the best look of the period for the Panthers, and he rings it off the post. Stuart Skinner, I don't know what he was doing.
He wasn't there.
It was a wide open net. Montour rings it off the post. Skinner hasn't looked particularly sharp. It's like one of those weird games where Stuart Skinner's saving everything, but it doesn't really make sense how that's happening.
He doesn't really look comfortable.
No, he doesn't look comfortable at all. Now, Sergei Bobrovsky doesn't look particularly comfortable, but he's only faced like a couple of shots.
Oh, he should have saved the one that he gave
he
up.
He really should have saved that
so,
first one.
Florida back on the power play because it's the initial major.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does this now count as two power plays or is it still all the same?
A major penalty is always counted as two penalties.
So even though we went to 4 minutes or 2 minutes of 4-on-4, this is now a second power play for them.
Yeah, it's wild.
That's an interesting rule. Like, one I've never really thought about, because generally you don't see a team take a penalty in the middle of a major.
Now, this is a disaster for Florida.
They've been
the better team.
Better 5-on-5.
They've been the better team in this game so far, and the Oilers have a 1-0 lead, and Sergei Bobrovsky does not have a save registered yet. There's 6 minutes left in the first period. Been a feisty one too. A lot of questionable hits early. We'll see if that continues. But there's nothing like the Stanley Cup final. Like, you and I, we were going absolutely bananas in here. the play from Sam Bennett to set up Brandon Montour.
Oh, how
Montour,
does he miss?
He post is not good goaltending, according to Leon. He's gonna be so
great pissed. Observation.
He's gonna be so pissed at Stuart Skinner that the post had to bail him out. I don't know, man. I still think the Panthers are going to take this game.
But a little bit of luck.
But if it gets out of hand on the scoreboard.
Oh, it could be fun.
It's going to get real ugly on the ice, for sure. I feel like we did some really good work until the game started.
Old-time hockey.
That's one way to put it. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Tune into this game. It's awesome.